Well, next month, the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia will hear arguments on the legality of a law passed back in 2006 by the City Council of Hazleton. Their Illegal Immigration Relief Act denies permits to businesses that employ undocumented immigrants and fines landlords who rent them apartments. Now, Republican Congressman Lou Barletta, who was Hazleton's mayor when the law was passed, said it was needed because there'd been an influx of Latinos, and as a result, he said, crime rates shot up, hospitals and schools became overburdened. The city became a rallying point for anti-immigration forces. Lou Dobbs called Hazleton a prime example of the need to shut down borders.
Alarming testimony on day 8 in the trial against the small town of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Law enforcement officials and a gang expert today took the stand. And they testified on what appears to be a disturbing connection between drug gangs and illegal aliens in Hazleton.
But then a funny thing happened in Hazleton. The law did not deter immigrants. They kept coming. And as the Hispanic community became established, they started buying homes, cars, opening stores. Now the AP quotes a bakery owner hoping this new wave of entrepreneurs will revitalize his street in Hazleton. But what's happening there mirrors the findings in a recent study about what happens when immigrants do come to town. The study says in places where immigrants settle, crime is down, poor neighborhoods rebuilt, communities once on life support came back. Patrick Carr is a sociology professor at Rutgers University. He was lead author of the paper published in the Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science. They also looked at St. James, Minnesota, a town that welcomed immigrants, and we want to talk to Patrick about both. He joins us from WHYY in Philadelphia. Professor Carr, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
And people might detect a little brogue in your answer
just
there.
Just a little one.
Yeah, just a little one. We should say you're from Ireland and here on a green card legally.
Yes, I am. I'm a legal immigrant.
And before we start talking about your findings, do you think that fact might have shaded how you might have looked at immigrant populations?
Not at all.
Okay.
Just a little. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Let's see as we make our way along. Because what did you find about Hazleton? It's a coal and manufacturing town in eastern Pennsylvania that has seen some better days. And then it saw an influx of immigrants, largely from the Dominican Republic, family members bringing in other family members starting back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, the population began to stabilize when Latino immigrants started to make Hazleton their home, to the point where, you know, the population actually grew for the first time in four decades.
And is it true that when the Hispanic population came, the crime rate rose?
First off, there are several years in the 2000s where there are no FBI uniform crime reports that are fully sort of mandated and signed off on and available. So, you know, from 2000 to 2003, the crime rate didn't go up. There was a slight increase between 07 and 09, but for the years 04 to through 06, there are no UCRs available. So it's hard to say. I think what's more important, I think, for the issue at hand and for, you know, then Mayor Barletta at the time, you know, this notion that immigrants are bringing crime, was that there were a couple of incidents that, you know, sort of served as what we call signal crimes, where people take that to be indicative of a wider trend. Mm-hmm. There was one particular homicide that was committed by two guys who were undocumented. There is this perception that things are getting bad precisely because, you know, these immigrants are coming in and, you know, causing problems and so on. So the numbers didn't go up, but it's the perception that this would not have happened if we didn't have this sort of influx of, you know, a new population and so on.
Well, another thing that did happen is that the hospital was running deficits because people were visiting the emergency room. They couldn't pay. And a lot of these immigrants who were coming in were renting, so they're not adding to the tax base. So there was this strong feeling, law passed in 2006. Then the immigrant population, still growing, starts to settle. They had been coming since 2000. We're now 10, 11, 12 years in. What started to happen?
First off, the economic benefits are pretty immediate. You've got a new population. You have a population spending money locally. You have a population that in many cases are opening stores, and there are, you know, entrepreneurs that are there, and they're revitalizing areas that had been maybe run down. And that was certainly the case in Hazleton. And part of that is, particularly for small towns that have seen Hispanic immigration, you're seeing the arresting of long-term declines in school enrollments. And one of the things that'll kill a small town is when you don't have enough kids. The school as an institution is a very crucial one in terms of being a sort of a cultural and social center for a town. in places where immigration has been successful in terms of being an integrative rather than a divisive issue, the schools have played a very upfront and key role.
Well, and we should say there are people in Hazleton who are looking to have a more integrative approach to what's happened to their town. Someone who grew up there, Joe Madden, who's the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, is raising money to build a community center so he could unite the old Hazleton with the new Hazleton. He calls it the Hazleton Integration Project. So there are people in town, we mentioned the shop owners, saying, geez, I hope they, you know, move to my street. Does that follow the findings of your study?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a lot that gets lost in the sort of Hazleton case study because of the way it became very, very quickly and, you know, widely publicized.
Well, the former mayor, who's now, as we said, the U.S. rep, Mr. Barletta, he's the one who came up with this law that's now being considered by a court. And he says that the national media created a false narrative about the environment in Hazleton 6 years ago. He says, look, he still firmly believes in his law that employers should hire legal immigrants or be denied permits. But he says, look, it doesn't telegraph that we're unfriendly. If we were, you wouldn't see this huge wave of immigrants still coming to our town.
Well, a counterpoint to Congressman Barletta would be that he did wear a bulletproof vest to the meeting where they passed the ordinance because he, quote, feared for his life. So, you know, I don't know about so much about the media creating false narratives. He shoveled some slack on the fire himself, you know.
So that's the picture in Hazleton. You compare it and contrast it with St. James, Minnesota. They saw an influx of Hispanics. What did they do?
Initially, they didn't do anything, and they found that when they got together to sort of put together their strategic plan for the town, that they weren't really taking into account the wishes and the perspectives of the new immigrants. So they, you know, sounded out a group of people who had moved to the town and sort of found out that these people kind of felt left out. They felt like they were being, you know, watched everywhere they went and that they really wanted to be part of the town and so on. So they decided that their approach was going to be one that was integrative. So what do you need at the level of the schools? What, you know, English as second language programs do you need? How do you attune businesses to cater for the new group? How do you encourage some of the new immigrants to open businesses of their own? And it can be tough for a small town when you have limited resources to sort of say, okay, in the short term, we have to spend a lot of money here. But they decided to do that. And, you know, again, the benefits now are fairly apparent that, you know, they're a very stable, robust small town in a place that had been depopulating. Their school enrollments are strong. Their local businesses are very strong. And you have something that you didn't have before. In many ways, if you compare them with what was happening in many other small towns, kind of buck the trend in terms of just being very upfront about planning to integrate rather than planning to divide.
Well, and as you say, on the other hand, Hazleton might have divided by passing its illegal immigration relief act. After a break, back with Rutgers sociology professor Patrick Carr to talk about how that law will fare at an appeals court hearing next month, especially in light of some recent Supreme Court decisions. That's in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Rutgers University sociology professor Patrick Carr, who looked at what happened to two small cities when large numbers of immigrants came to town. And of course, this is something people have very strong opinions about. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio is in court today in Arizona defending neighborhood sweeps that he says netted illegal immigrants. His critics say he's racially profiling. Alberta, Alabama Mayor Lindsay Lyons says his city's Hispanic immigrants have been a double-edged sword, bringing crime and social problems, but also labor and revenue. But Professor Carr says both Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and St. James, Minnesota benefited from an influx of immigrants, downtowns booming again, schools brimming with students. St. James welcomed the newcomers. Hazleton passed a law denying permits to businesses that employ undocumented immigrants and fining landlords who rent apartments to them. So let's pick up with Hazleton's law, and we probably should review the life of the law. When it was drawn up, Hazleton became a lightning rod, both sides in the immigration debate pouring money into the city to fight for or against the law. And the Hazleton law inspired one like it in Arizona. But then a court struck the Hazleton law down, saying it was the federal government's exclusive right to regulate immigration. The city appealed to the Supreme Court, which sent the law back to the lower court, telling it to try again. and citing the Whiting ruling. Now, this was when the Supreme Court upheld Arizona's law that uses the E-Verify system to judge a person's legal status and then impose sanctions against businesses that hire illegal immigrants. So this is where we are. Patrick Carr, that lower court, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, is now reconsidering the Hazleton law. But won't they just side with the Supreme Court? Because didn't the court uphold the similar Arizona E-Verify law?
Yes, they did. But here's the thing. Then the other question then becomes, does the lower court then go along with that and sort of say, well, that's the precedent that we're going to stand by? Or does the lower court then stand by their original ruling and say, well, we read this as a case of preemption where this particular ordinance preempted the federal government's sole responsibility to legislate on immigration and therefore struck it down?
But then we also have the most recent Supreme Court decision throwing out large parts of an Arizona immigration law having to do with police interacting with people.
And throwing out parts of that law based on the it's preemptive of, again, the federal government.
Yeah.
It's already taken care of by what the federal government does. So it will be a very interesting ruling from the Third Circuit. But one of the things that struck us very strongly when we talked to some people in Hazleton, you know, about this was how almost everybody just wants it to be over. Huh. You know, that the furor, the enthusiasm they might have had for fighting court cases, you know, really has waned. And the money that was available, you know, to fight these cases has largely gone.
Well, but still, it'll be interesting to see what happens and what impact it has on the Hispanic community, because knowing that the law is, you know, hanging over their heads and might be enacted by this lower court, they still came to Hazleton. And I just want to go back to some of your findings, because I'm sure we're going to hear from people saying that can't be possible. It can't be possible that when lower income immigrants flood a city, that good things happen. You talked to the current mayor, Joseph Yanuzzi. What did he say about Latinos and revitalizing the city?
You know, he was very clear about it. You know, he said that, you know, that the fact of the matter was that in large part Latinos had come in and rehabilitated areas of the city that had been derelict for a long time. They'd really revitalized it. They'd opened stores. That certainly the schools were bursting at the seams, but that adds cost to your bottom line. But that's not a bad problem to have, you know, where many towns are sort of seeing declining school enrollments and so on, that, you know, they had managed to boost their enrollment to a large extent and so on. So, you know, he was very positive about it. And one of the things we asked him, like, you know, was like, what would the future be like in about 10 years? And, you know, he said that he could see a time when native and immigrant populations would be fairly well integrated. And one of the things he talked about was how, you know, when young people start hanging out together, playing sports together, they're on the same teams, they're going to the same schools, that, you know, you just begin to see that whatever barriers that may have been there, whether they're created or exacerbated by whatever legislation or, you know, whatever politicians are doing, they tend to disappear when young people start hanging out together and playing together and going out with each other and dating and whatever else it is, you know. So, you know, he painted a very optimistic vision of the future for Hazleton, and one in which was inclusive and integrative. So we felt that was a very interesting sort of stance for him to take.
Yeah. And we should say you weren't the only one who participated in this study for the Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science. It was in the May issue. The editors commissioned research from urban, suburban, rural areas, different scholars. Everybody who participated, including you, seemed to be, as they say, in remarkable agreement. While new immigrants are poorer than the general population and face considerable hardship, there's no evidence that they've reshaped the social fabric in harmful ways.
No. Almost, you know, to a person, the evidence is overwhelmingly, you know, positive, that there are no real findings that sort of indicate that immigrants bring anything but positive things. It's not that it's easy. It's not that it, you know, when you go from, you know, having 1% of your population being Latino to having 25% of your population being Latino in a decade, that that doesn't bring some fundamental issues for your town. It does. But the example of St. James in Minnesota, which is our sort of integrative example, shows that when you plan for this and when you, you know, take into account the needs and the wishes of this new group of people, that you can have a relatively positive outcome, that you get over the initial teething problems, and that, you know, you then begin to reap the benefits. Because people in St. James, for instance, would say that they're not sure that their town would be there, or, you know, as certainly as thriving or as vibrant as it is now without the new inhabitants of the town. So, you know, certainly their schools have been, you know, invigorated, other institutions, the churches, the business area, all of those things, you know. And again, this is a population that is now very well established, very well settled in St. James, and, you know, very much a contributing part of that social fabric.
Patrick Carr, professor of sociology at Rutgers University and one of the authors of the study, Can Immigration Save Small Town America?, published in the Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. Professor Carr, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'd love your thoughts at hereandnow.org as we go to the news here and now.